This is Booth 46, live from Pederino's. Not just in the heart of the Loop, but the heart of the Loop. Surrounded by theater, culture, and Chicago's movers and shakers. Each episode brings you, as Irv Kupcinet used to say,
the lively art of conversation.
Local vibes, real conversations, and fresh ideas for experiencing the city. So pull up a chair, lean in, and let's dive into the stories that shape Chicago.
Once again, live from Booth 46, Pederino's Restaurant. Pat Quinn served as the 41st governor of Illinois from 2009 through 2015. Ascending to the office after the impeachment of Rob Blagojevich, known as a great governor for the populist style he had, Governor Quinn previously served as the Illinois Lieutenant Governor and Illinois State Treasurer and built his early career around citizen activism, which we will talk about because guess who my guest is? As governor, he signed legislation abolishing the death penalty in Illinois, which he received international acclaim for, actually, legalizing same-sex marriage. Throughout his career, Quinn has emphasized ethics reform, consumer advocacy, and also what I say, just a good guy. Governor Pat Quinn, okay. Thank you so much.
Well, good to see you, Steve.
It's always good to see you.
I think it was 2 years in a row I was the Animal Welfare Governor of the Year United States. I learned a lot from you.
So let's talk about that.
Yeah.
Since you brought it up. Why? You're governor of one of the biggest states, fourth largest state in the United States?
Well, it's sixth largest now. It's fifth largest when I was governor.
Yeah. All right, I was close anyway. So, why were companion animals, of all things, that important to you?
Oh, I think it's super important. I had a dog, Bailey. Bailey lived 14 and a half years, and the night I got sworn in as governor, we went over to the governor's mansion and had dinner, and then all of a sudden we couldn't find Bailey. Where did he go?
I don't know this story.
And we found him in the kitchen with the one of the cooks, who he was getting treats, and it was a big house, obviously, a lot bigger house than my house, and he was really, really a special animal. You know, a lot of people, young and old, like to be a Yorkshire Terrier, and sometimes when I would sign a bill dealing with animal welfare, I would have Bailey.
He did sign.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, you came up with some of the ideas through those important pieces of the legislation, but I'd have Bailey on my lap, and he was very studious. He'd look at the paper and look, and I'd have my pen there, and he wouldn't applaud, but he was very happy when I signed.
He did not veto any of those bills.
No vetoing. No. And then Mike Sneed came down one time from she would wrote for the Sun Times, and she wanted to do a column.
An animal lover,
had all kinds of pictures of Bailey in the paper, and you know it was really, you know, you get very close to your pets, and I think it's super important that people have those connections. For a lot of folks, maybe as time goes on, their dog or cat is maybe one of the most special living creatures in their life, and it's important that we treat them with loving care. They're God's creatures.
Yep, and you always supported that and understood that pets are members of the family.
Mm-hmm.
As governor, what did you do day to day that might surprise people if you said, and you're about to, governors do this, fill in the blank?
Well, everybody has their own habits or routines. I used to play basketball quite a bit, both down in Springfield and up here in the Chicago area.
Where did you play?
Well, a lot of times playgrounds.
The governor of the state of Illinois, did you have to go out with Secret Service to do this?
No. Well, now that I think about it, I guess they stood away. I didn't want them bothering me. You know, if I was shooting well, I'd want them farther back, you know? So, no.
How good are you?
Well, I've been playing.
You still play?
Yes, I do. Matter of fact, after this program, I will be playing basketball tonight. It's exercise, really, and also friendship. When I was just out of high school, we used to play in summer tournaments at Hilliard Homes at 22nd and State. And I played for 5 straight years in playground basketball. You got to meet a lot of people you didn't actually
people
know.
From all walks of life, too.
And I met some of these friends at work. I worked at a big manufacturing plant called Automatic Electric, and these guys play basketball. So I went down to their neighborhood, and then sometimes they come out to our neighborhood, and we did that for years and years, yeah.
That is so cool. Now, when you played basketball in Springfield, you went. There was nowhere inside to do it. And that's one question. Part two, have you ever played against Barack Obama?
No, I have not played against Barack Obama. I know people who have.
Do they win? Is Barack as good as
he? Oh, he's a good player, yeah. He's a good shooter, yeah. And friends of mine, like David Axelrod, he used to come out to my brother was a high school basketball coach, John Quinn, and he would come out to our high school, Fenwick. Axelrod would. One time he actually brought Rahm Emanuel to play. I would say Rahm was an excellent ballet dancer. He wasn't much of a basketball player. He called a lot of fouls. I don't remember that.
He still does.
Yeah,
in a very different
does,
way.
Yeah.
Yes.
But, no, it's a joy of the game now. I think somebody wrote this. We had a fella from Jacksonville, Illinois, a college fella. He won the NCAA dunk contest. He was only 5'10". And I had him come over to the governor's mansion in Springfield and pat him on the back, give him a little recognition. And I told him, you know, I dunked a basketball twice in my whole life on the same day. It was April of 1968. I dunked it, and my friends couldn't believe it. And then they said, you got to do it again. And I did it again, and I haven't ever been able to do it since. I definitely play below the rim nowadays, you know.
What would surprise people the most about the job of governor?
Well, it's a demanding job. There's no question about that. You have to be ready at a moment's notice.
Is it almost more demanding today?
Well, I think it's always demanding. Okay. There are different challenges. But I remember it was like 3 in the morning. I got a call on my cell phone, and they said, the waters are rising. Eden's is underwater. Chicago area is flooding all over.
Oh, I know what you're referring to.
There was a huge storm. The whole state for about a week had huge amounts of water flooding everywhere. And so you have to be on your toes. I got a plane right back to Chicago. And ultimately, we're on a helicopter looking at all the flood damage. And you have to really warn people about the dangers, but also help folks recover. And, you know, I think that's an important part of the job.
You know, for me, when I think of you, I you know what? I have a new nickname for you.
I am?
Mr. Referendum.
What? Well,
why am I saying that?
I've been doing that since 1975. So
explain why I'm saying
50 years.
That.
Yeah. Well, I believe in petition passing and putting issues on the ballot for referendum. Right now, we just started an online petition. It's called BearDownForIllinois.com. We want to keep the bears in Illinois.
Oh, really?
And we put together a website. It's very inspiring, I think, about the Bears fans. This is all for the fans, you know, the people who are out there in the cold. They're for the team.
Now, when you say keep in Illinois,
yeah.
Do you mean in Chicago or do you mean Arlington Heights or either?
Well, we don't want them going to Indiana. We don't want the Chicago Bears to become the Hammond Hoosiers. No way. As a matter of fact, the governor of Indiana was on the radio not too long ago saying he wants Bears fans here, I guess, to be prepared to be miserable. Well, spare the misery. We're not for that. We're for keeping our team, the pride and joy of Illinois. That's in our song,
yes.
Bear Down Chicago Bears. And so we put the song on our website.
What is the URL of the website?
It's Bear Down. Now you got me going. BearDownForIllinois.com.
All right. We'll put that in the description.
Yeah, BearDownForIllinois.com. And when you go on, you'll learn a little bit about the history of the Bears, the song. We had a great Chicago Chicago, and he's passed on now, George Wendt, was leading the singing of Bear Down Chicago Bears. And it's really, when you see the song and all the people singing it, it really sums up a team that's been with us for over a century. It started in Illinois. George Halas, the founder, went to University of Illinois. Colors are blue and orange. So it's very important that we keep our team right here.
Did you ever meet any of the members of the Halas family?
Not so sure about the Halas family. I met a lot of Bears. You know, when I was lieutenant governor...
The owner, who was 101 maybe when she passed?
Virginia?
Yeah, Virginia McCaskey.
Did, yeah.
Had
well,
you met,
only
did
on
you,
TV, but okay. I always really admired her.
Well, that doesn't count, her on TV.
Well, I mean, she was
but
the daughter of the founder.
That's right. So do you think... And now it's a wild guess because I'm asking you something unfair, but do you think that George Halas would be turning over in his grave if he were to know?
Yes, I do. Yeah, I think he would be. I think Virginia, his daughter, would be.
Yeah, yeah.
The team belongs in Illinois. Now, maybe they'll switch locations from Soldier Field to Arlington Heights.
Do you think it could be done?
Yeah, it could
at
be
Soldier
done.
Field.
The Bears bought land up at Arlington Heights.
But do you think it could be done at Soldier Field?
Right now, the people and taxpayers of Illinois and Chicago remodeled Soldier Field 25 years ago. It's a great stadium. We saw that in the playoffs this past year, how the fans packed the stadium and became really the 12th man for the team, especially in the fourth quarter. So there's certain connections to the people of Illinois.
Do you think you could help negotiate it?
Well, I hope so, by our website at least, thousands of fans.
You're an attorney, and also you're good at the stuff. Do you think if you had the opportunity that you could possibly open a door that Brandon Johnson hasn't, and due to his best efforts?
Well, yeah. I think I could do better perhaps than the mayor could do. But I think the bottom line is my job, I think, as former governor of Illinois for 6 years, is to let the owners of the team, the McCaskies, know that this is a precious part of Illinois. You have a bond with the fans. You have to be loyal to the fans. They've been loyal to you. And that's really where I see my role, and I hope I can express that as best I can with our website, BearDownForIllinois.com.
Talking to you now from Pedrino's restaurant.
Yes.
You're not incarcerated.
Yeah, thanks a lot. Yeah.
Well, some of the past governors have been. I presume you don't go to the bar and hang out with Blago.
No.
No.
When I was governor, Steve, at one time we had two former governors, Blagojevich and George Ryan, in jail at the same time.
And before that, there was Dan Walker, as I recall.
Yeah, and Otto Kerner. And the bottom line is, when I became governor, I got sworn in at night after Blagojevich's impeachment and conviction. Our first order of business was to clean up the corruption. And we had a reform commission that I had appointed the very first day as full day as governor. And we were able to get a lot of reforms passed. Not all of them. We still have more to go. And that's why I believe so much in petition passing and referendum, because a lot of times the voters are way ahead of politicians when it comes to demanding reform and cleaning up corruption. And that's why I think we need that in Illinois, to put proposals on the ballot that the people can enact rather than just waiting for the legislature, which may never happen.
Would you like to see that more even across the country?
Oh, yeah. Well, other states have this initiative and referendum power. Places like Michigan, Ohio, Missouri in the Midwest.
Colorado, I know, does.
Colorado does. You know, we've got to make sure, this is the 250th anniversary of the Declaration of Independence. We believe in democracy, government of the people. And one way to really have government in the people in Illinois, the land of Lincoln, who believed in government of the people, is to have a much stronger opportunity to have petition and referendum, not only on ethics, but on property tax reform. We have the highest property taxes in the country right now, and I supported an advisory referendum a year or two ago called the Millionaire Amendment for Property Tax Relief.
I remember.
And we want to get that on the ballot this year, 2026, as a binding referendum where millionaires would pay a 3% surcharge in order to fund $4.5 billion worth of property tax relief for everyday people and businesses.
Now, I would imagine our mayor would agree with that. So my question to you, though, it's twofold. First of all, you're not going to remember this. We went out to lunch once or twice, and we're walking down the street, and there was no cars coming, and I said, come on, you know, I just crossed the street, right? You said, no, I want to wait for the light. That's you. You're
well,
yeah, it wasn't that
in that occasion. Maybe there was a car coming and you didn't see it.
Well, that could be too. Maybe
I think
everybody
occasionally maybe crosses against the light. But
my point is that ethics, I'm being serious now, ethics have always been important to you.
Oh, yeah. Well, my father was in the United States Navy during World War II. Bonhomme Richard was his ship. That's been a ship in the U.S. Navy ever since it began under John Paul Jones. And
really?
So my dad was in the service for 3 years, 1 month, 15 days. He would tell my two brothers and I all about it. And, you know, the night I got sworn in as governor, I read a passage from his commanding officer when he was leaving the Navy. And the commanding officer said good things about my father, that he was a person who was cheerful, who was honest, who was earnest. And I thought that that's what we needed in Illinois, a governor who believed in the people, but also was honest and worked hard. And you have to be ready for the cause.
All right. Now, I enticed you here because you got a free baseball cap that says Pederino,
yeah,
booth 46.
Yeah.
But also because of the peppermint ice cream.
Yeah, it looks good. Yeah.
You're a frequent diner here, aren't you?
Oh, yeah. No, Pederino's a great restaurant.
Here.
Yeah. You know, especially next door, you can go to the Goodman Theater to see a lot of good plays.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, that's one thing about Chicago and Illinois. One year I was Arts Governor of the Year, and I went out to Washington. And one of the people there said, you know, New York is a great theater town, but Chicago is a great town for actors and actresses. You know, the aspiring actors and actresses who learn their craft. When I was governor, we were able to get CineSpace to locate a studio here, which is good for TV and movies and all kinds of audio and visual. And it's really created a lot of jobs, not only in front of the camera, but all those good, hardworking people, men and women, behind the camera. And we want to keep those jobs coming.
And also, when you were governor, you supported very powerfully the movie industry coming to Illinois and coming to Chicago specifically. Have you ever eaten? So you talked about the Goodman Theater on one side of Pederino's. On the other side, it's the Pasticceria, where they have all sorts of things like handcrafted Umbria coffee, a delectable array of freshly baked pastries.
Wow.
These pastries, I will tell you, I believe they're on steroids. They're so big. And they are so good as well.
And it's the Pasticceria?
Pasticceria.
Located here on Randolph? Is that
it's right there.
Oh, next door.
I'm pointing that way.
So all right.
People can see me pointing, I'm sure.
When you said Umbria, that's, I think, a state or province in India, or in Italy, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. It's,
amen.
In fact, we were in France. We were in France, and I held up what do you call them? They're not sweet rolls. They're...
Oh, wow.
You know what I'm talking about?
Sure,
they're big. They're good. And you eat them in France. And I held one up. You say that? A croissant. Thank you. I just couldn't
croissant.
Think of it.
Yeah, I
better.
Took French.
You
yeah.
said it much better.
A long time ago.
So say that again?
Croissant.
One of those.
Nous irons jusqu'au bout. You know what that means? We shall go to the end. I still remember that one.
Say that again?
Nous irons jusqu'au bout.
Well, you can say that when you go to the Pasticceria and probably get nothing for free. But you can hear jazz music here every Monday night.
Oh, wow. That's good.
Yeah, at Pederino's Restaurant. And the musicians are really good. And once it warms up outside, they have the outdoor patio where we were talking about dogs. And it is dog-friendly as well. This
important.
Is Pederino's, where images of famous folks are right here.
Oh, I see them all.
And you're among those somewhere.
I don't know if I am, but... they all look good.
No, you've got to be.
They're caricatures here. No, it's a great restaurant. It's in the heart of the Loop. And we have to, you know, restore the kind of
vibrancy
community that we had before COVID.
Do you think it's happening?
I do.
I do too.
You know, I used to get signatures over at Millennium Park, you know, for petitions and such. And, you know, people come to Millennium Park in the summer, especially for the movies and for the music.
Sure.
And all the other things you can see. And I think it's important that we remind people that this is a great gathering place. Illinois is a community. It's a family of shared values. We may not agree always on politics, but we do understand the importance of helping each other.
What do you think is so special? I mean, you could have, after you were governor, you could have moved to Calgary, Canada to play basketball or whatever. Yeah. No. But
I was born in the south side of Chicago. I live in the west side.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I did live in Springfield, the governor's mansion, for 6 years. And before that, you know, I lived in East St. Louis.
I was
a political organizer back 50-plus years ago. So, you know, we have a diverse state. And we're lucky to have it. And the people work hard. And, you know, right now when we're talking, a war has begun in Iran. And when I was lieutenant governor and then governor, we had wars in both Iraq and Afghanistan. And I went to both. When I was governor, we went to Afghanistan. We had 3,700 Illinois National Guard members deployed there for a whole year. So it's important that all of our listeners understand that we have good people in our state, men and women. We honor their service. When they raise their hand to volunteer for the military, we wanted God to take care of them, and we thank them for their purposeful lives.
Yeah, absolutely. What do you think your number one accomplishment as governor was?
Well, I think we had to restore honesty after Blagojevich and after Ryan. That was important to navigate through that crisis of dishonesty and lack of integrity. But at the same time, when I got sworn in, the national economy was in the ditch. We had the Great Recession, and the state budget was totally out of balance. So I had three crises that I had to deal with. And I thought we navigated that pretty well over 6 years. I wish we could have done more, but I think we did a lot to make things better.
And about the death penalty, would you say that is something you'd be remembered for?
I don't think there's any question.
Yeah.
I got a call one day out of the blue on my cell phone from Archbishop Tutu in Cape Town, South Africa.
Really?
Asking me to sign the bill that had passed to abolish the death penalty. He said he was calling for himself. He was a Nobel Peace Prize recipient. But he was also calling on behalf of Nelson Mandela, he told me.
Wow.
And so, you know, I did sign that bill. And
did you have any hesitation to do it?
Well, no. I thought it was important to have everybody in our state for about 30 days say their points of view on the issue. And I listened to people who were for the death penalty and those who were opposed.
You just said something magical. I listen. You think today public officials just don't?
No, I think that is a problem. There are people in politics, both federal and perhaps here, that they tell people what to think. And the reason I like referendums is that's where the voters, the people, tell the politicians what to do.
Yeah.
And we need more of that if we're going to have real democracy in our state. Issues like ethics, like property tax reform, like protecting consumers. I started a group called Citizen Utility Board. This is back 43 years ago now, but we put it on the ballot. And the powerful utilities, ComEd and People's Gas, Nicor, they were against it.
Spent a lot of money saying
so. Yeah, but we put it on the ballot, and the people spoke, and we were able to get the law enacted by the legislature. Now, CUB is 43 years old this year.
So it's a pretty good example
of how the public can take charge.
Citizens Utility Board. Gay rights. No one was talking, but you were considered controversial for that much more than you might be today, although it's become controversial again. But nevertheless, you stood up for people.
Well, I signed a bill for civil unions in 2011, and it worked out very well in every county in the state, a civil union law. And by 2013, I thought it was important that we should have marriage equality. kind of building on the civil union law. And we had to pass that in the legislature, and we did. And there was a party that night in the governor's mansion, and there was a legislator, happened to be gay, and he wanted to propose to his partner, who was driving down from Chicago, and he said, could I do it here in the kitchen or somewhere? And I said, oh, no, no, no. And I took him up to the second floor.
Can a governor officiant be an officiant for marriage?
I have been, but not in this moment. But when his partner came, and now it's a spouse, we did he got down on his knees with his ring and asked for his hand in marriage. And it was under the portrait of Abraham Lincoln.
Wow.
Because I wanted Sam Yingling to do it in a prominent place with everybody cheering and happy that this happened. And I think we've seen over the last 10 years, 13 years in Illinois, where the people by the legislature passed the bill for marriage equality. I signed it into law over at UIC.
Mm-hmm.
We had a couple thousand people there.
University of Illinois, yeah.
And I had 100 pens. And each of those 100 had some role in signing Patrick Joseph Quinn on the law.
100 people actually took a pen and signed it?
Well, no, I signed it. I gave
Gave out 100 pens?
Yeah, 100
pens,
yeah.
Got it.
So that's pretty good.
That is amazing. And by the way, I do have a complaint for you.
All right.
You ready?
Fire away.
So I'm so happy and honored that similarly I have several of your pens.
Oh, wow.
As
yeah,
I
that's right. Yeah. Okay.
They've all run out of ink. That's
oh,
the complaint. I know.
Oh, well, sorry about that. You know, when you mentioned pens, a friend of mine who was at the, when I signed the bill to end the death penalty.
Yeah.
The very next day, I received an email, it turned out. I didn't know about this until about a year ago. Email from a person from the South Suburbs by the name of Bob Prevo. And he was very complimentary of the fact that I signed this law. And a reporter from the Sun-Times found out Bob Prevo now is Pope Leo.
Ah, that's how I know that name.
Yeah. And my friend
wow.
who kept one of the pens from that day, if I ever get to meet Pope Leo, I'm going to give him that pen, you know.
Oh, that is so cool.
He's from the South Suburbs. He's a White Sox fan like me and good man.
You have to take me with you if you go to meet the Pope. That would be, what would you say to him?
Well, first of all, I thank him for his purposeful life. He was a missionary. He understands the importance of taking care of everyone, everyone in, nobody left out. And I think he's doing a very good job as Pope. But he's the pride and joy of Illinois. Not only the Bears are the pride and joy, but Pope Leo, formerly Bob Prevo, is quite a guy, you know, from our state.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. You're now speaking at Northwestern University or UIC, University of Illinois, at Chicago, wherever. Do you tell people who maybe you're speaking to the law school, maybe you're just speaking to students there, to go into politics, or do you say stay away?
No, I get invited to speak a lot, but I always start with the first time I first got involved in a petition drive. There was a practice in Illinois where legislators would get their whole year's pay, their whole salary, on the first day of office. Before they did a single day's work, they got their annual pay.
Really?
They get sworn in and run over to the state treasurer's office and collect their annual salary. Well, unfortunately, some of those legislators resigned from office, or too many got sent to jail and were still in the jail, and it wouldn't give the money back that they took in advance. So we started a petition drive to end advance pay. We got 635,158 signatures, the all-time record for petitioning in Illinois to get a law against advance pay. And I would always use that as a way that everyday people who don't like what's going on maybe in government have that alternative, that safety valve, to use petition to get things done. And we've been doing it ever since.
I hope people listening can feel your energy. You know, and the Bears are one example. What drives you to keep doing this stuff?
Well, I think, you know, it's important to have energy. You know, I want to be above ground, not below ground. And I think having causes, I do believe in causes.
Yeah.
You know, when I was governor, every year I would go with Christmas cards from boys and girls in Illinois to the American Military Hospital in Landstuhl, Germany. And or our soldiers who had been wounded in Iraq and Afghanistan were. And I would give those cards out not only to the soldiers, but to the men and women who worked at the hospital. And I remember meeting one soldier, and he said, "Do you want to see my legs?" And I said, "Okay." And he pulled back the blankets. He didn't have any legs. He'd given his legs for our country.
Hmm.
And it seemed to me that, you know, all of us have causes, but we always should remember those who give their last full measure of devotion to causes. And that's what I try to do, find people who are doing heroic things and honor them, you know?
You know, the thing, though, is, and one reason, among others, why I admire you so much is that you're not running for anything now. And you sound like someone who might be, but you're not. You really believe what you say.
Well, I do want to get a referendum on the ballot in 2026.
But there's nothing in it for you except you feel that...
Oh, this is the cause. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I've been working on property tax reform and relief for over 50 years. And this year we have a chance on the ballot to put a binding referendum where people who own homes and businesses can really direct the legislature on how to do it. A number of states, including Massachusetts, have passed what's called a millionaire amendment, where the millionaires, those who declare more than $1 million in their annual income tax return, would pay 3% more, a surcharge, and that money in our state would be $4.5 billion.
Are you worried people would move out of the state if it were to pass?
No. In Massachusetts, they ended up getting more millionaires.
Really?
Yeah. You know, the bottom line is about 1% of the people in our state declare more than $1 million a year in their taxes. They're blessed, and I'm happy for them.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a lot of everyday people who are having a very tough time paying their property tax bill.
Totally.
Where we are right now.
Now more than ever.
The bill just came out over the weekend.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's very hard for people to stay in their homes or get a home if you're a young person trying to buy a home. The property tax bill is way too high in Illinois, and we got to reduce it.
All right, now I need to ask you some questions that I ask everyone. You ready?
Oh, okay, fire
He's
away.
He's ready, all right. What's the best job you ever had?
Well, pretty easy. Being governor of Illinois, quite a privilege and an honor. And you could help a lot of people. That was the best thing about it.
Well, for you, you did.
Yeah.
That's you.
I signed a bill in to have Affordable Care Act in our state. You know, passed in Washington thanks to President Obama. But then each state had to approve the law. And I remember signing that over at University of Illinois Hospital. And thousands of people have gotten health coverage because of that. And years before, I had walked across Illinois with my doctor, Quentin Young. We walked from the Mississippi River in Rock Island all the way to Chicago and Lake Michigan on behalf of decent health care for everybody. So signing that bill into law was really kind of a culmination of something we worked so hard for.
What's the worst job you've ever had?
Well, I think all jobs are okay. I worked quite a bit when I was in high school and into college and after college. I worked for a milking machine company one time, a warehouse.
I don't even know what that is.
Well, they made machines that milk cows, and it was a warehouse job.
They milk cows is what you said?
Well, yeah. Farmers have machines that they use to milk cows. Yeah.
I've seen them in movies.
And this was a warehouse where the product was stored before they sold it, I guess.
And what was your job, to milk the
cow? I was a warehouseman. I drove a forklift. I can't say it was the worst job, but, you know, you're driving a forklift, you learn a lot of things. You don't make mistakes. If you do,
you're not here anymore.
We have the milk machine collapses or falls down, and people aren't happy.
I imagine not. What makes you the happiest?
Well, I like to see when people band together for a cause they believe in. You know, it's like the last scene in It's a Wonderful Life, where the people of the community come together to help their neighbor. And to me, that's our highest calling, all of us. And, you know, I worked a lot with military families and Gold Star families. And I've always been inspired by those moms and dads, brothers and sisters who lost a member of their family in Iraq or Afghanistan, how they help other families that have had a tragedy like that.
And by the way, I'm interrupting, I apologize, but it's the same thing with the Chicago Police Department.
Mm-hmm.
They do the same thing.
Yeah, they do.
And it's amazing how they're able to come together for each other as a community. Though tragic, they need to at times.
Yeah, I spoke at a number of funerals of Chicago police officers and also service members. I went to over 300 funerals of Illinois servicemen who were killed in Iraq and Afghanistan. And I think you're right, whether it's a police officer, a fireman, some first responder, or a service member in our military, we owe a permanent debt of gratitude to that person, as well as their family who gave them their values. And it's important to express that.
I totally agree. What's the best thing about Chicago for you? Aside from the basketball court here and there.
Well, yeah, I like the food of Chicago and the people eating the food. You know, it is really, I think, something, you know, we're special. We're in the Midwest. We're not in the coast. We have a grit that other places don't have, and people get that. I was born in South Shore. I live in the west side of Chicago now, and I'm inspired by the hardworking people of Chicago, young and old, how they band together, not only for teams, but for causes, when it may be a charitable cause, you know? One time, I made a bet, and we won. The Blackhawks won the Stanley Cup. And I bet the governor of Massachusetts a food bet. The Bruins, Boston Bruins, lost. And I said, well, if you lost, then you have to come to Chicago. You got to put on a Blackhawks jersey and work with me for an hour at the Chicago Food Depository.
Wow.
And that's what Devon Patrick did, and we did it together. And it was very inspiring to see all the food there. You know, the Chicago Food Depository, Greater Chicago Food Depository, they really are the warehouse for 650 pantries, food pantries in every neighborhood. And so we got to supply those pantries so people can have enough to eat.
I'm just not saying this. You're a model for what a public official, or let me rephrase that, public servant probably is a better way to put it, because that is you and that's the you I know. Thank you for doing this, Pat.
Oh, yeah. Well, thank you, Steve, for your lifelong commitment helping our living creatures. I know Bailey, if he was here, would be barking away, thanking you for a life devoted to helping our pets.
Ladies and gentlemen, Governor Pat Quinn.
That's a wrap from Booth 46 at Petorino's, where the loop comes to life. Thanks for joining us, and until next time, keep the conversation going and keep exploring Chicago.